Yeah, I wanted to maybe start just with a few things I thought were just really good over the last few months that were maybe noteworthy, and then get into a few things that are coming along. But and again, some of these are not will be obvious to everybody, but I still think it's noteworthy. I think Kaylin is doing a really great job, and I think if you think about where we were with just a lot of unknowns about worship at, you know, just a few months ago with Jeremy's transition, and to think about how it's migrating into, and again, it continues to evolve, but to have a great group of worship leaders that are people growing into worship leading, you know, with Carrie and Chris and Bryant that really want to do it. And I think that, I mean, you know, it's one thing to kind of grow into that role, but I think the passion is there, and the giftedness in a lot of ways, and they're working together, and they're up here on every Wednesday night, and I think that's really making a difference. So just a lot of good, and I think Kaylin has just been good leavening for all of that, because if there is one area that is kind of traditionally where it's hard for people to see eye to eye and hard to work things out and a lot of varied opinion, it's worship. Okay, just in terms of song selection and style and everything else. So Kaylin has been, if you think of it, give her an acknowledgement and a call out. And then she keeps growing in some other areas too, but probably maybe even the worship area was a little more, takes more hours than idealized, if you will. In other words, knowing that she was halftime in terms of what that would take of her 20 hours to actually get people coordinated and keep, you know, working on that, then get up here on Wednesday nights, and then, you know, working out in front in terms of song selection. And so, but all that say is, I think she's just doing a great job with that, and then continues to kind of inch by inch take some areas that probably were more Dolores's area, but they had fallen back to Elizabeth, and take that off of Elizabeth's plate. And so I think that even in the last week or so, getting some of that clarified a little bit better has been good for Elizabeth as well, just to know and to understand. So anyway, kudos to Kaylin, and that's been great. Just in terms of worship leaders, and I mean, most of y'all were up here at the ministry leaders meeting that we had at the last elders meeting, and got very positive feedback from almost everybody who was in the room that night in terms of ministry leaders feeling, for one, people had no idea that there was so much going on within the congregation. Yeah. And it was just the left knowing what the right was doing, and better kind of communication and coordination. So that felt good, and I think that sort of leads into something that's coming up, and that is the October 1st and 8th, we'll be having the ministry fair. And so trying to think about how to envision that with tables and such in the hallway downstairs, but that would be during the Bible class time, and then a little bit after that. And trying to do it over both of those weeks, knowing some people are going to be out of town, and just give, you know, but again, to the degree that all the leadership can be engaged with those ministry leaders. And there probably will be tables that, you know, nobody's, people feel going to feel kind of alone, and, you know, whatever, just to try to help smooth that over, and to give acknowledgement, encouragement to the ministry leaders that are working on that. I think we'll see where that goes. I've had people like forgot her name now. Just recently, who said, "Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I'm looking forward to a place to serve." So we've had several that have kind of said that. And I think you said the Corneliuses mentioned that as well. So I'm just hoping that some good things can happen through that.
How do the ministry leaders know, hey, we'd like you to have a table, or there is room for a table for you? Have they all specifically been approached already, other than there's going to be a fair, but they know that their, you know, their ministry can have a table or something?
I think most all of them have, Dave, and I'm not saying there aren't some exceptions to that, but I did... send some information out or touch base with nearly everybody that's on that list.
Okay.
That we had that was on the list at the last ministry leaders thing. Now, there could be some exceptions. I don't know that I'm missing, but what are you
full
thinking?
Full disclosure, I'm kind of scratching my head thinking, should I do a prayer ministry table?
Yeah.
Should I do a benevolence table? And I'm just kind of, I don't know.
It's a great question. So yeah. I guess the door was open for you to do either or both of those,
yeah.
but maybe even combining a couple of them. I talked about that with Jeremiah this past week because, for instance, I've got local outreach. Well, we've got Hudson School as a new ministry, rather than having a Hudson School one and a local outreach one for worship in the park or whatever, you know,
yeah.
it'd be better to combine them, okay, on some of those. So you got a little bit of leeway there, and maybe benevolence actually could even be a part of that one, for instance. But it's up to you on that. I do think the prayer ministry would be a good one to talk about, though. It's not as if it hasn't been out there. You know, people are unaware, you know, they're aware of it, but still, maybe it's a face-to-face way of being a little bit more influential in terms of their decision-making. I wanted to also then just thank Steve as we've kind of reconfigured the new members class, which we were trying to call the Next Steps class. And it truly is Next Steps, isn't
it,
Steve?
It is.
The more we get into it, the more a misnomer it is to have a card that says, would you like to place membership? In a way, it's kind of like, well, people will say that, but all that means really is that they want to figure out next steps, just like, and I don't know, how are these guys on the app yet?
Can I take a minute?
Yes.
So, thank you, Jeff, for kind of helping us rebrand that, because the idea behind it is to bring more people into the class, bring more people into engagement, really, right? And so, and that kind of presented itself, played itself out a couple of times already. Like yesterday's class, when we had, and I got something for you guys as well. It's a profile of some of the people that's already been in the class, so you got to get a chance to be familiar with them. And so yesterday we had Lana Bailey in, and we she was the only one there, and I think she was real open about some stuff that maybe she wouldn't otherwise been open. Dave, you might agree or disagree with this, you know. But I think one of the things that the class kind of flushed out that helped us is that she's just beginning her spiritual journey. She has no background in terms of, you know, being, you know, involved in any church or any Bible. She's not familiar with the Bible whatsoever, because she said it kind of confused her a little bit. And so the class gives us an opportunity to really hopefully identify what a person's next step is, and we can walk alongside her. And so she's a great candidate for this old-fashioned Bible study, right? You know, and that's, you know, we don't get a lot of those in here, you know, like we used to.
Would be really good for most people in our church, just the basics.
Yeah.
The Bible.
Yes. It would be, Steve. And so we need to figure out how to walk alongside her and help her take those, that next step, right? So
she checks the card to place membership, but really, she lives right over here in McKnight Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
But came because her son and daughter are going to church, and they said, "Mom, you need to find." And so here she is, in a way, searching and not quite knowing what that even means at this point. So there's an opportunity.
Yeah, she loves it here. She loves it for a couple reasons. She loved the friendliness, and she loved the engagement she's gotten from members, right?
She really
loves that. And so much so, she asked us, hey, how do I contribute to what you guys are doing financially, right? And so she wanted to figure out how to do that. And so, but she's not ready to place membership, which is probably fair, because she's really not knowing what she's agreeing to be a member of just yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to continue to come and be a part of that. So I think that is a great example of why we're doing next steps, and Dave is one of the leaders in the class, and then Gwen is the other. I'm gonna give you guys this. This is, we met with the Corneliuses a couple of weeks ago, and this is just a profile of the different the two people that we, well, the Cornelius is a family, husband and wife, and then yesterday was Miss Bailey, and so she's single, and she's a retired corrections officer, so she has a little part-time job. She's doing some caregiving right now, so the ideal is to do this once a quarter, and we got seven people coming next week. This week.
Wow.
We got seven people coming this week. And so so the way we've kind of formatted the class is it's going to be a challenge to kind of get everybody engaged the way we're doing things. So we really want to give people opportunity for us to get to know them on the front end. It's want to hear them, get to know them. And that helps us to kind of take those next steps by where they are. You know, especially spiritual formation, where they are in spiritual formation, so we can help them figure out their next step. And so maybe, you know, we haven't really talked a whole lot about, but maybe once a quarter, and the ideal, like you know, next week is the last week, for the next 3 months, how do we as a group help people take those next steps? Mm-hmm. Those 8 to 10 people that has come through that class this month, how do we walk, you know, to help them take those next steps? And so you'll get that from us, but then we will encourage you, if you are open to it, is to use the church, what is it called?
Church centers.
Centers.
Yeah.
If you were to open that up and look at groups, you're part of a group, and then there's a couple people that'll be listed here.
Did Kaylin add on?
Kaylin.
Okay.
She did.
So if you go on your app here, and then you can. Are you guys getting that? I wonder if they're.
You know, I got on there, but then I had to go back and get the code. So I'd get off there and get the code, but then it wouldn't let me. I did about 6 times. And
okay.
I got to get on with my computer.
Not the number portal, but the church center app.
Oh, I thought the one that you sent.
Church.
Never mind.
But are you getting the text now? Like, the text came today about Lana Bailey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the profile and that information. And so you should have been added to the group, so that you will now be getting, anytime there's an update on next steps, you get a text.
Yeah. So you're not engaged to people, right? So, and if you engage them and there's something happened that you think the group should know about, either send out an email or add it to the church center, so we can be caught up as well. And so we can kind of walk them through these next steps until they figure out, you know, with us in the spirit, what do they really want to make a commitment here? You know, if that's ultimately where they want to be. And so that's the ideal of the class. And so we realize there's a lot that's going to be happening outside of the class, and as opposed to trying to cover most things inside of the class, you know, that just was challenging. It's challenging both ways. But we're just trying a little different to help people really take the next steps. And I think we're going to lean on the ministers and the elders to be a part of that process. You know?
So I guess I'm going to want to reiterate this, because if you're not getting it, Kaylin added you. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting the text, then we probably need to look into maybe if your phone is shut off or receiving those kind of notifications, and maybe you don't want to receive them, okay? But and I can even understand that. Mm-hmm. It can be.
Well, then Jeff, I did get a text.
Okay.
I got a notification.
That's the right word. Yeah. That's the right word. It's a notification.
Right. Yeah.
So the Cornelius family, the Walton family, Shelley Crum, Lana Bailey, and then Alexandra and Daniel Stryker have been. There should be a notification in the last few days related to each of those.
Right.
Each of those people. So each one is at a different place in this next steps journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me throw in one other thing, Steve, and I think you're doing a fantastic job, is that I think Steve and I have been talking about this as one more indication, just like with children, let's say Boone is going to belong in a lot of ways to this church before he comes to believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think that same process is the process that adults are now going through.
Yeah.
So even our, you know, I think we may even continue to evolve in terms of what we call this, and when we say membership, what do we mean? We're kind of building a, it's an artificial imposition anyway, that's not even in the New Testament per se, and then we've come up and we kind of know what it means, but other people don't. A lot of things to figure out. So the Cornelius's was the week before Sunday, and in talking to them, even though they had at first blush told Brad they were ready for membership, after a deeper dive with Dave and Steve, probably aren't quite ready, because she comes from a Catholic background, okay? Hasn't really made any commitment of faith or whatever. So they're and he's been Baptist all of his life, so still trying to figure out the autonomy of the Church of Christ, you know. So asking a different set of questions than Lana, but still asking questions. And then she's wanting to bring her parents here, who are Catholic. So we just have some, we're in a kind of a different world, weirdly enough. It's a good one. It's a good one. It's a great one. But just thinking about what those next steps, you know, mean. And it's going to take a village to do this with the adults as well, Nathan.
It's a lot simpler when we had Jewel Phil. Was it Jewel?
Jewel Phil, yes.
We were done.
Whatever happened those days. Okay.
And we didn't have a lot of peanut allergies. It's a different world.
It's a different world. Almost nothing has gotten less complex. But it's all going away. Let me make a couple other observations on this. There's a lot of good stuff here. But let's see. The pastoral team. So that group, notifications, Don, you're probably not on that one, are you? Okay.
No.
And don't necessarily need to be, but I wanted to just to kind of reiterate that that's going well again in that group. Ben Meringer, first of all, is a bulldog that just keeps, he is like every day posting, I've been over to see Bradley, I've been over to see Tom Holmes, I went to see Mary Ellen, but she was getting in the car and going off to something. I mean, he's just like on it. But in any event, I just was looking here in the last 7 days. So it lists the day of week if it's in the last 7 days. Before that, it lists the date. But in the last 7 days, there have been 13 visits that pastoral team.
That's beautiful.
About half of those are Ben. But Collins Corner, Barb Eichley, others were on there as well that are calling on people. So I think that is just, again, we need to, whatever we can do to tell that story as well and kind of brag on them, they're doing a shepherding role in this. And then if we have identified some people that we need to sort of add into the system, for them to visit, this is the right place to do it. For instance, I got a text or a email from Alice Ferry said, "I'm out of communion." I'm out of communion. Okay, so I'm like, okay, Alice, let me send Ben over there with the dog. Okay, fix her up. So we'll see how that works. Then the Faith in Action group met, and I think a good one there. And then, Brett, maybe we'll get to your thing here in a minute, but I know Brett's got a whole bunch of... So there's just a lot of different areas of the church where, again, the left may not know what the right is doing, but in terms of events, let me talk about it that way for just a second. Worship in the Park is the 24th of September, so that's coming up in 2 weeks. This coming Sunday will be the CFS 50th anniversary that's at the park or as well, or I don't know whatever it's called.
Ranch.
Yeah.
Then October 1st and 8th are the ministry fair, and I want to preach on gift-oriented ministry, and then we'll have a ministry fair in the hallway. On the 15th of October, there'll be some new Bible classes that will start. One is that I'll be leading is called The Growth of the Soul of a Leader. And then the other one is Gwen on the Book of Ruth. And then on the 22nd is Mini Golf for Missions. That will be down at Swing Around Fun Town. And we'll help raise some money for Philip in Africa. On the 29th of October will be the Next Gen Worship. That's the fifth Sunday. And so we haven't really started planning that, but I got some ideas for that to, again, kind of do help accomplish what Nathan is saying and keep integrating young and old. And again, last time we did the intergenerational class. Thought that went reasonably well. Still trying to, I don't know that there is a magic formula to all that, but it's just getting people of different generations together for those things. And then the plan is on November 5th for Faith in Action as a church. Okay, and that will probably be primarily leaf raking that we'll do after worship. And I think we decided to not have Bible classes. Steve, did we?
I think that's what we decided.
But I don't know that we talked about that with everybody.
Yeah, whatever, so you guys decide. Well, okay. We can do either way.
Okay. Or do we make it early afternoon? I don't know. But yeah, looking to you guys to tell us what we need to do there.
You could talk to Judy Miller.
Judy Miller? She got some ideas?
No.
If we cancel Bible class.
Directly.
Good point. Yeah. Send her my way. Yeah, no.
Well, see, what Bible classes will be going on then? Yours and then Ruth?
And Ruth, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. We can have them.
We can do it. And
whatever you guys decide, we'll work with that, whatever.
And then Jeremiah already mentioned the pancake breakfast at the end of December, week before Christmas is on the 24th. So it's 17th and the 24th, and we'll have a Christmas Eve. We'll have a regular worship on the 24th and a Christmas Eve worship that night.
I'm just saying, better be praying for some nice weather for its next few outings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All it takes is one rain, and, between worship in the park.
True. So this is true. This is true.
Everything's are there some more things we could do? I don't think we need to add some more to the calendar.
Steve.
Hush.
That's great.
I think those are the big things going there. January 20th. Then is the kind of coming out of the area-wide elder meeting that we had back in June. Yeah, it was June. And kind of kicked that off. Seemed like good response to that. All the guys, ministers went back, talked to their leaders, and seemed relatively positive. So we are turning the pencil into a pen and committing to the January 20th date to do a mini elder link. That's language. We won't use that language, but for those of us who might remember going to Indianapolis a couple of times, it's somewhat similar to that. On that January 20th, it'll be a morning, full morning, lunch, and then maybe one session after lunch. So it won't even be an all day. It'll be like 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday. And we've proposed, Steve and I have recommended that we have it here at McKnight, okay, for that.
And all the rest of the ministers thought, yeah, it's such a ideal location, centrally located and everything, and the facilities are probably some of the better in the area. So.
And that is for wives as well,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So elders and wives and staff and wives, and January 20th is the date for that. And presumably it'll be Carson and one other guy from the Cybert Institute.
And we're asking the main congregations to give up to $600 to $700.
Yeah.
So can we commit to that?
It's a whole new budget.
Why not?
Or we could give this year.
There went my conference. Yeah. So. Have Dave note that, please. Yes.
Yeah.
If we're hosting it here, can we charge a fee?
That's right. But we are going to charge some.
We are going to charge probably $10 per person just to pay for the food for breakfast and lunch.
But this is to get the guys here and hotel and then just stipends and that sort of thing. So, that's all I got.
I did see, figuring a church calendar and such, I did see in the paper, my wife did, that the Parks Department announced there will be no Winter Wonderland walkthroughs.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, Brett, if they formally responded.
Well, they did. I didn't know who I responded. So she said, we've thought about it, and we won't be needing your parking lot. This is kind of what she said. And yeah. I said, well, thanks for the update. And I didn't remember who I forwarded it to over here, but I sent a couple people.
So we've been going back and forth with them a bit.
Did you see it in the Post-Dispatch, or did you see it? Where did you see it?
The Post.
Post, okay.
Because
Becky
saw it too. Are they going to come back and say, well, we couldn't work things out with the church?
The announcement blurb didn't have anything negative about us, and that was very nice to realize, because, you know, we were playing, not hardball, but we were firm.
And they'd also talked to the Lutheran Church, wherever that is, just right up there, and so.
They also, I think, one of the articles mentioned McCarthy, the loss of McCarthy, and the loss of the
carriage
ride. So they had a lot of factors moving all at once there.
So we won't have all the fecal matter on the road behind
us. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
True.
All right.
Thanks for you guys working with them and trying to figure something out. I took a lot of time.
Yeah, appreciate that.
If any ministers want to leave, you're welcome to bail out at this point.
Can I say two things really quick?
Sure.
That just came up to my mind. First off, I want to thank all of you guys for participating on Sunday. Y'all really helped it be a successful morning. So pat yourself on the back. Great job. No. And then the other thing is, we did just recently get a thank you card from Hudson School. It's in the office, so if you guys would like to read it, it will be in it. So,
great.
And on that note, I'm going to leave.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You guys are up for 9:30 tomorrow.
Yes,
Dave's
sir.
Dave's going to come. Dave, I'll be there.
Great. Bye, guys. Have a good night.
Yep. See you guys.
Trip to Chicago?
Oh, yeah. That's great. A lot of fun.
Thank you for doing all the stuff on the thing and getting
Lucy's
people that
fast.
We're trying to get people and get people.
You should have stand a chance for those parents.
3 months.
Yeah, it was
lot
it was crazy,
fun.
But you know,
they all moved in the
new house. Some people wanted to slow down.
Trying to figure out homeownership.
If we don't do it out of the contractors,
like, what is this wire? What is this?
So yeah,
you know,
it's just one of those things we just got lucky on.
All of these infrastructure things that were from the 1980s, you know. I'm looking.
I might want to get the guy's name.
Oh, I will.
You don't even have.
Well, look at his work first.
Yeah,
he does
cable
good.
Anymore.
He's done
right, because he doesn't have AT&T. You know, but it's still on down in the basement.
Yeah.
You know, it's got this little hub and this thing shooting this little Radio Shack thing. Lines going this way and that way.
Radio Shack.
Take all that stuff out. Yeah. It's gone. So it was kind of comical laughing together because he's not very good at this sort of stuff. And, he had to try to figure out a sprinkler system that's about 40 years old, too. But we enjoyed it a lot. Played golf twice, so it was all good.
Well, Jeff, did you want to talk about anything else in terms of your situation?
Well, we just hadn't had anything really formal since Don and Steve spoke to me. So I'm not sure I really have a lot. Just maybe if you guys had any additional thoughts just in terms of kind of how you saw things transpiring. We got together one morning and I pretty much saved the little piece of paper
that
I think that probably came from Brett's Excel spreadsheet. So I was like, okay, this is pretty much what, this is good, no problems here. So, I mean, one of the things here is letting the congregation know, or elders announced to congregation, Jeff steps down as minister before November 20, 2024, and do that about at my birthday in November. So that's not all that far away, just as a FYI, and I just wanted to make sure that was kind of what we were thinking. And then
I was thinking the other day, I thought when we announced that, I wonder if we could have a congregational meeting after church just to kind of give some whatever details we have.
Yeah.
We haven't had a congregational meeting in a long time. We can have more than just that on the agenda.
If there's more to say, I mean, I guess there might be. So, yeah, I'll let
you know. We've been working on this for
months
and months, and just it's not something that just came up, and just
okay.
Let them know kind of what our plan is.
In our conversation then, we did talk about, but by the end of August, cleaning out my office, and this says on here
September.
To step down as minister before November. In other words, 1 year out from my birthday. I think that's a little bit confusing.
Okay.
If I know that I've got a clear date, then I wouldn't communicate to the congregation that it's going to be potentially 1 year. I think I would just make it clear it's going to be by the end of August next year, because we're looking to have somebody that's in place. So just more in terms of the smoothing out that communication a little bit. Does that make sense?
The congregation doesn't need to know you'll be on the payroll till your birthday.
Yeah, right.
I do think they need to know the date your formal duties end.
Right,
And so that you're right, that's a good clarifying point. And when it does get announced, it would be through end of August type thing.
So we would meet with the staff that Tuesday and let them know before the church knows.
For sure. I had actually.
That seemed real good.
What's that?
That seemed like a good idea to figure out some timing in advance.
I was even, and I'm not sure when it needs to be. I was even thinking a little sooner myself than that, but knowing that there's some risk with that, but I just would like to honor them by it not feeling so last. To last minute, you know what I mean?
So we can talk about that.
Yeah. And then this says start the soft search for the new minister December 1. So, and then when I've spoken to maybe Steve or Don, we've talked about January 1. So that this was more of just a clarification, but it seems to me that it almost by default happens as soon as this is announced, everybody can think about, oh, gee, I wonder if Nate Reisers would like to apply. You start to, your mind goes to the next step. So it seems like it could almost happen immediately.
And a soft search is a soft search. Yeah. It's kind of, we let the church know and we're networking our own personal networks.
Yep.
Once we let the church know, it will be a soft search.
Yeah.
There will be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be broadcast pretty quickly.
Yeah. I don't even like it. Soft doesn't sound like a good term for it.
So then the next one, in thinking about it a while, maybe running this by, I don't know, Becky or who I was talking to about this, but does April 1 feel like enough time for the hard search, and how do we arrive at that? It seems like a little tight to me. Like, is there a reason to wait till April? But it's all on you. It's up to you guys. But knowing how, depending on what we do on April 1. But knowing how things typically go within churches, if we suddenly got 4 to 6 weeks into it before anything really productive happened, or we put out a post, or we put it out, you're almost into the summer. At that point, so that seemed a little.
It just sounded good that night.
Keaton and I were saying it's early as possible, so Keaton and I are ready to go.
Maybe it felt like maybe a month slow.
I think that
in my mind
resolved my thinking. We ideally would want somebody in place before the school year starts, you know.
Right.
Gives the whole summer, you know, for
to work on that,
to move. And so starting in April 1st would be making the official contacts with, you know, schools and, you know, all that, hoping that it would generate some interest that could, in April, May, and June, identify candidates and then maybe get them moved here and in place by school year. But like Steve said, it was just kind of that night where we it's not a hard date for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be, you know, I don't have real strong convictions about it. It just seemed like, just remembering the last searches that I was a part of, the McKaylee one and maybe the one, it seemed like it was more than one. I guess we did the McKaylee, but we were actually looking originally for the children's minister before we got McKaylee hired. And it just takes, depending on if you've got a...
It takes more time than you think.
It takes more time than you think before you actually get to say, okay, all right, you're doing this, and then it takes them a week or two to get it done, then get it posted.
Sometimes they say no after they've said yes.
Yes.
Experience there.
So that was just all a little bit. Then the only other thing that, and again, I'm kind of babbling on, but just having, thinking about some of these is, and I've mentioned this to Don, he said, you know, we can work on it, but my thought is maybe we have somebody by February. Let's just say, Lord, just to, you know, I just think that's possible. So what I'm thinking you all are thinking is that at that point, if that was the case, and this worked out just way better than we could have ever anticipated or imagined, then depending on the person and conversations with that person, it would determine my next steps in terms of my level of engagement or what I do, like if I'm here every day or if I'm doing, you know, okay, I'm going to do this new guy's going to do the preaching, we want to do a Bible, I don't know. I mean, is that what if it happened really quickly? Then is there anything preconceived in your minds as to how that transition should look?
I think we were like, let the Spirit move us with that, and we don't know, we would tailor it to the personalities.
Okay.
In this situation.
But yes, I think we would love to have overlap, that there's benefit in that. And again, you know, it depends on the individual. If he's pretty green, he's going to need a lot more hand holding. And again, I mean, just, you know, to be frank, is we also, as the elders, know that we need to see how the two of you are working, that, you know, you've got to start giving him more and more rope, right? We just need to make sure that, you know, you've been doing this forever. And that transition at the end is where, you know, you let go more and more and he takes on more and more. And but yeah, we would love to have overlap.
Or she.
And I guess that's one of the things with Seibert, it kind of goes against what they recommended. And so we had to talk through that a lot. And so that's
part of the reason I was asking for clarification.
I didn't know if you, okay.
Well, I kind of knew that was their, So thank you. I didn't mean to catch you off.
Deliberated and said, we think we're not in the same position, that you're a mature man, you've got gifts in this, and we trust you. So, and just as long as we as the elders just monitor that situation, it should be fine.
You know, Jeff, I think that if we're blessed with somebody earlier than our timeline, then we will figure that out because it might make perfect sense to hand off some significant duties in stages, and you move into teaching classes and the ministry follow-up team. Yeah. You know, those that meet with everybody, and maybe focus on a few things that, you know, get light time from you.
Right.
Or, you know, this guy might need a little hand-holding for a few months, even if it's the right guy.
Right.
So we got to figure that out with you. But I think we'd be flexible to those kind of things, because we are kind of thwarting some of the advice we're getting. It's like, okay, we're a little different, and feel like we can handle some overlap there. But what that overlap should look like,
I think we've got flexibility in our minds. We do want to be deliberate on the other end of the spectrum, is if nobody's showing up and September 1 is approaching, you're still done.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. Because we want to not string you along.
And that's
we're
a good
trying
point.
To make a promise here. And so that's the other thing to be very well aware of. And what can that look like as you hand things off? And
right,
what do
right,
we look
right.
like for that next few months while we keep the process going? And
we're just
going
to have to get used to Brett preaching every Sunday.
Oh, boy.
Drive you out there with ministers.
So we're really kind of, yeah. We're as flexible about that end of the timeline as the early end. So.
But I think we're attractive. We're a metropolitan area, and we've worked through a lot of the things already that a lot of churches are just starting to work through, and ministers like, oh, I don't want to have to go through all of that. So I think we're pretty...
Jeff bears all scars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true, though. I think it's just haven't had a lot of talk with folks, but the several that I have, it's exactly that, Steve. Mm-hmm. I think that the theological training, typically, even coming from Abilene, or, you know, it could be a lot more progressive places than Abilene, but even from there, the ministers aren't. They really don't know quite where they fit within a lot of the churches, you know, without going in and having to stir things up and push things forward in some of these areas. And that's just no one really wants to come in and be that guy, you know. And so if they had an opportunity not to, so I think to your point, that would be attractive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
another example of that is my brother-in-law is Elder Woodmont in Nashville. And Paulette Gwynn's sister called yesterday, the day before, real excited, and asked us to come down because they're now going to be shepherding couples.
Yeah.
You know, and so something we've been doing for a few years, they're just beginning to adopt that whole idea that, you know, maybe a shepherd needs his better half that God gave him, that, you know, that extra bone, right? And so... you know, so I think, you know, to your point, Steve, we got a lot of things in place, and I didn't even think about that as one of the things that some churches are probably not practicing. That can, you know, someone walk in here and see that you know, as you know, that's kind of leaning that way. I think that can be, you know, something as little as that can be attractive to the next candidate. You know, so.
And I guess another thought on the announcement in November is, so the reality is, what we gave you were four pretty high-level bullet points. And so, you know, the announcement, I don't think, has to be real specific because we didn't get specific with you. Just, you know, hey, here's right. what's going to happen, and as the details come in, we'll let you know. And so I don't feel like we have to be compelled to have everything ironed out before then.
Right.
But I think,
right.
you know, we gave you that, and we probably have more to give. But, you know, I think just broad strokes would be good. And, again, I think just given the timing, it's – to me, it's kind of a natural flow.
And I think it's important that the church knows that we have prayed and we have worked for months with this, knowing this was going to happen, and we're going to let God.
Well, I think I'm going to push back and say you want to have a congregational meeting right after that announcement. I think it needs to sell first, and, you know, that message needs to be reemphasized then to, you know, let people know the sky's not falling, and, you know, this is just, you know, normal progressions of things that we've taken into consideration, you know. I'm just thinking,
yeah, maybe
sometimes stirring the pot, you know, when bringing everybody together to see what they want to think, you know.
Yeah.
I have similar, I mean, I'm right on board with you on that one. I had the same feeling, so I like that.
So, we're less than a year away.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when do we make that announcement? I mean, we're within a year.
We're within months of making that announcement.
No, I know, but yeah. I mean, but it's less than a year that he ends his
duties. This time next year, he'll be retired.
Yeah.
So
it's a little bit of a misnomer. You're saying if we don't, because of the way we originally worded it at my birthday, over the next year, in a year I'll be retired. But in actuality, it'll be which we don't want to exactly say because it's a little bit deceptive in my mind, if I know that I'm going to be out of my office August 31st. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure how to straighten
well,
it out.
Well, I would think when you just say that you're going to retire from your duties here on October or August 31st.
Yeah.
But my point is that we ought to do that soon because it ought to be around that year point, I think, as opposed to wait until
November. Instead of waiting for my birthday.
Oh, I got you.
I thought we had said that earlier on that we were going to make the announcement like about the fall. We had discussed that as a possibility.
We discussed every possible
scenario. Yeah. 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 That thing is stuck in my head. But So I wouldn't be opposed to making it sooner rather than later.
If you look at the church calendar and think about...
We just did.
There's nowhere. That'll be next spring.
We're going to do a church in the park.
Yeah.
Picking a Sunday, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which... Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And maybe one's more conducive than the other, if there's so many things going on.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, back to Brad's point is any Sunday would work. It's an announcement at this point. And I mean, it's a big announcement, but it's just an announcement. So I wouldn't.
But I still think my experience with congregational meetings, which has been mid-county, they've been very good. Giving people a chance to talk, give us a chance to be transparent. And I know with McKnight, the experience was different.
And I'm not saying we shouldn't have one, but I don't know that you'd have to have one that Sunday.
But let them know we're going to have a congregational meeting to answer any questions we may have answers to, but we'll give them the information just to kind
that
of
that could be some. A part of the announcement.
Yeah,
that's coming up.
And
the truth is, we don't know what we're going to be doing yet.
Right.
So, but I think we'll be able to drip a lot of stuff, slowly. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think letting you, Jeff, tell the church that this is, your plan, and just, leave it at that. And, you're getting ready to retire, and you just want people to know about it. And being transparent, the elders are aware of it, and we're working on it. And then, a month later, we'll probably have some more details. Maybe that'll fall in.
Yeah, I like that.
So maybe I should communicate. You're thinking I should communicate.
I'm not sure if I feel
I'm happy with that, but I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. I've never thought of that either.
We
don't think about that.
I think we want to make it clear that this isn't a surprise. We've been working on this with Jeff for a long time.
Right.
I think it's a healthy... instead of, out of the blue, what's going to happen?
Yeah, right.
And I think announcing the retirement and just saying there's a lot of other details about the transition periods and when we start the search and all that, which we can discuss at a congregational meeting in a few weeks or whatever. But just want to let you know that we've talked with Jeff and the retirement date's going to be August 31st, and that's a little less than a year from now, and we want to let you know, and you can be praying for Jeff and Becky, and whether Jeff does it or we do it.
It's hard to believe it's less than a year now.
I know.
Yeah, it really struck me when I was like, okay.
Have you started your counter 50. On your phone?
I'm not going to go there, Steve. I'm not doing that, but I have done like, okay, it's not 52 Sundays. It's now 50. It's now 49 this week.
Not going to celebrate another Labor Day.
Okay. Well, that was just needed to have that little bit of chit chat about that.
All right. My two cents is that I think sooner than later.
Okay.
That does make sense.
I think to get that basic announcement.
I think we can promise you what David Bearden experienced when he went down to Alabama and, the elders got up in the pulpit and announced that he was leaving. He didn't know it.
He didn't know it?
No.
Wow.
They said, David had resigned when David didn't know about it. But there was a different group of elders who had come in, and so I think hopefully you have enough trust in us.
Yeah, right.
And again, part of it is this, you know, Seibert's recommendation is to tell them right before you leave. And you know, again, we didn't see that made any sense at all.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of why I wanted to have this conversation, exactly, because I do feel like there's the trust there. And I actually was thinking, I was just like, who's, if you had a clear plan on how you wanted this to unfold in certain ways, and I didn't want to get in the way of that, I guess is what I'm saying. But I think, you know, what I'm drawing from this is that the first things first will be let the congregation know, you know, relatively soon. I'm going to have to stop
staff
thinking about
first, then the congregation.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. And then we'll go from there.
And you think we were going to use the Seibert Institute to help us circulate the opening, not use their template for all of the congregational training and gap for preaching and things like that. We weren't going to embrace that part of their model, but utilize them for some, how do we get the word out?
Yeah. When we go hard.
And search for candidates and things. They're right in the middle of, I don't know, we were, other than we all talk to everybody everybody we know, make a few phone calls, get the warm network going. I mean, what else are we going to do?
Yeah.
And so we got to flesh that out. But that's a step. You okay, Jeff?
Yeah, good. I'm good. Do you want me to go?
It's up to you.
I think if Brett's going to talk about the parking lot, I ought to be here at least for that part. Because
if I can have 5 minutes at least.